A 360 degree view on sports.
It's time to vroom vroom. By the way, let me. You weren't joining me at all. At some point you looked at me like, okay, I'm coming on board, and then it never turned around. Mm-mm. Let me say this: I love the spaces after the race. I think what you and Hulisani have created is a brilliant thing. Do I agree with everyone's takes? No.
Of course.
I feel like some dudes there were just downright comical. But even still, it's a great space after the race where people who love Formula One and have an interest in it can come in and share their thoughts. Mm. Crazy the numbers that you guys are doing as well. So
yeah, I was quite shocked. It's growing. Like, yeah, every
more power
race
to
this
you.
Time, yeah.
Nah, more really power. Was it. Taps on it yesterday?
I don't know if Taps was on because I don't remember seeing. I saw a couple of familiar people in my general to the streets, but I don't know if Taps came on.
All right, let's ask him. Taps, what's up? Good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning, gents. I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Brilliant,
doing?
Brilliant.
Awesome.
So, quick question on the spaces. Were you on the spaces yesterday? The F1 spaces.
Unfortunately, not. My network was bugging. I tried to get on, and it just did things. So, no.
Janelle, I'll never forget the day Prince introduced you to us and said, "Guys, this guy's coming on. His name is Taps." And I said, "Taps who?" And he's like, "Nah, he's Taps, the Formula One guy." I was like, "Okay." So essentially, what Prince was saying at that point, Taps, is that when people say Taps in that spaces, right, around fast cars, you are the only Taps who we think about. And I think that's brilliant that you've owned that space.
That's a lot of pressure.
It is. It is. There's so many Taps as
out there. I'll accept it.
It's a bucket load of pressure. But all right, Prince, over to you. Let's get into the Brazilian GP.
Oh, quite a mouthful to get into, man. Okay, maybe let's kick it off with the political climate. I think for me, that's where most of my focus was in terms of it really set the scene. That's what made this weekend for me. The way Red Bull obviously went and pointed out and identified a bit of a questionable flex in Red Bull's wing. The initial assessment was the wing is flexing too much at certain speeds, so it's giving them an aerodynamic advantage. And some spice was added to it, of course, with Max Verstappen walking around and checking it out. And then ultimately, it just so happened the worst possibly of coincidence for Mercedes that there actually was damage there unrelated to the flexing in itself. What's your take, Taps, on Red Bull's move? The fact that they flagged this with this kind of timing in this weekend?
I think if you look at the performances of Mercedes in the past few races, they seem to be gaining momentum. And now Red Bull are getting to a point where they can see that these guys are getting closer and closer. So now you try and just...
Tubbs? Hello, Tubbs? Okay, we seem to have lost Tubbs for a bit.
Bug up.
We'll try getting back on. Yeah.
Let's try to reestablish that line. I think he just stepped into that poor network that he was speaking about, which caused him to miss the spaces yesterday. So you answer, Prince, the question that you asked. you give us the answer. While we try to get that line back with him, I'll try to ring him back. You tell us your
thoughts. You take a shot and try and save it, is what you're saying. Take the corner, run to the box, and try and hit it the best you can. Look, I just found it as a masterstroke from Red Bull because they're using the entire chessboard. Fine, Mercedes may have said, okay, you're taking things off the track, let's do our fighting on the track. And Mercedes could say that because they just put in a new lump for Lewis Hamilton, which is night and day difference in terms of pace. Apparently the speed difference between he and Valtteri Bottas down the straight was something like 30 km/h per hour. That's ridiculous. He's in another league. So I think Red Bull, with the options they had, I think they did the best they could. Fine, it's not the most sportsmanlike conduct for a team to take things off the track and, you know, take it to the FIA officers and basically take it to court instead of actually fighting for their credit and for the points that they would want. Do we have Taps back on?
I think we do.
Okay.
I think Taps? We do, yeah.
Okay, gents, am I audible now?
Right.
Awesome, yeah.
Got you.
Perfect.
All right, talk to us, man. You're still making your points just about how, the lay of the land, politics.
That's what I'm saying. I don't blame Red Bull. You know, it's what
Same.
Teams have done in the sport
Same,
for
yeah.
years.
Yeah.
And I think it's one of those situations. It's not inherently wrong. It just leaves a bad taste in your mouth. Because
100%.
I think we've always maintained as fans that we'd love to see the rivalries being sorted out on track. Who can build a faster car? Who can get the best drivers into the team? That's ultimately what we want to see. So whenever there's a query or something sent to the FIA and it doesn't happen on track, it's just frustrating for the fans to come out and see, oh, someone has been penalized, oh, someone has been disqualified. You know what I mean? So it's not wrong, but it's just unsavory, if I can put it like that.
100%. I absolutely agree with that. You can, as I said before, just during the time that we lost you, you got to use the entire playing field, use the whole chessboard. You know, if things, you can see you're out of options, which I think they were definitely for pace this weekend. If you're out of options on one side, then take it off the track then and see what you can do there. And just as luck may have it, I mean, there was damage to the Mercedes wing over and above the fact that the flexing thing was in question, which there is really no truth to it. And also, the questioning of the flexing is a response to Mercedes, because Mercedes questioned Red Bull's rear wing flex earlier on in the season. Did they not?
Look, in this case, it seems like Red Bull took a shot in the dark and they actually hit something, because
they were reaching. Yes,
the luck of the wing actually having damage is crazy. And yes, Red Bull have now started to go tit for tat. You know, you questioned our rear wing, so we see a pace advantage with you guys, and we're going to question as well. I don't know how, what that does to the mentality of a team if now, instead of trying to improve or instead of focusing on what you should, you're going to start nitpicking on the other team, if you get what I'm saying.
Yes.
But,
yes.
Yeah, you can't always stick to, they question this with us, we're going to question this with them. You kind of, I think in this case, the most important thing is whenever there's something too clear with the FIA, just make sure it's something worthwhile. Just make sure there's proof. Because then at the end of the day, if you, let's say the whole wing thing, there was actually nothing wrong with Hamilton's wing. It was all good, no issues whatsoever. We'd be stuck in a situation where we're seeing Red Bull as petulant children who just want to get an advantage in any situation.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know, man. I can't be clearly drawn on that. I really think it's right up Red Bull's alley to spice things up. Because of how, also, look at Max's demeanor. You can't tell me Max and the Red Bull team as a whole are unaware of what comes down the road if you're going to walk up to someone's car and touch their wing deliberately and at leisure too. You're not just brushing by it or, you know, sneaking a bit of a, you know, feel. He assessed it. You know what I mean?
If they have something, then they have something. Yeah. Because, look, it's the way everything played out, right? It's the attitude that Max showed by walking to Hamilton's car. It's the way he and Christian Horner, by extension, answered the question about what were you exactly looking for.
Yes.
If they are seeing something, then fair game, you know, question it.
Yes.
So, from a drama perspective, bring it on. It's fun, it's irritating, but it's good for the sport.
But if there's truth to it, yeah.
Yeah, it's just one of those, man. Mm. I can see why such actions and such incidences divide opinion, but it's part and parcel of Formula One.
Absolutely, absolutely. Just I suppose the perfect person to take on this role was Red Bull, given the role they've played in general in Formula One. I guess someone had to do it, and it was them, and I think they did it brilliantly. So kudos to them, although it's a shady one, but kudos to them and how they did this. So then the offset, the after effects of doing this to Mercedes, did it rattle them really? I mean, they just put in a new lump for Lewis. He's got 30 plus kph down the straights, over and above the nearest guy to him, Valtteri Bottas. Did it really rattle them, or it just made things, they just had to work a bit harder for it this weekend? What do you think?
Motivation. I think that's what it did for Mercedes. It just gave them that extra push, because I don't think Mercedes brought in upgrades for their car. I just think it's something they've been fine-tuning, and they finally got that car work in a way they wanted. We've always maintained that the Mercedes has a very narrow operating window.
Yes.
So the issue every weekend is to get it there. And I think in Brazil, whatever small changes they did or whatever they perfected, it worked. So you're now looking at a situation where you finally got the formula right, and it's rattling another team to a point where they're sending you out for appeals. That disqualification, while it was hurtful for them, it's really motivation, like, listen, we are onto something. We are doing what we've always wanted to do. So let's push harder. That's why you heard in the race, Hamilton was saying, listen, tell Vulture to keep behind my wing and let's get these guys. Those guys were so motivated this weekend. It's just brilliant to see.
Yeah, and Red Bull had no answers to them on a lap, on a sector by sector basis. I mean, it was incredible. 90% of the quali lap was just all going to Lewis's side in terms of pace. Max had just hardly any gains, hardly any advantage. But apart from the middle sector, of course, when race pace came into the picture there, it was a bit more impressive for Red Bull. But, I honestly don't blame Red Bull in their move. And it really helped, I would say. Remind Mercedes, I think, what they're made of. Put him, like you're saying, it motivated them and put them in a position where we're maximizing on everything we have. The whole aura of the weekend just changed from sprint race onwards. It was like, okay, now game on. You know, we're gonna give it our all and we have the equipment to do it. But, a final, I think before we move on to the race itself, a final question on this move for the appeal. Is it coming from a context, do you think, rather, because this is something I tried to mull over while the race was happening, but do you think it's coming from a place where Red Bull are like, okay, we're out of options, or we're running out of options for what we can do, and it's being narrowed down into taking things off the track and following through on the hunches we have about what might, any misgivings about the Mercedes car, simply because this power unit is the night and day difference between the two teams. It's just giving them so much pace that we have to now use what we have on the table. At this point, it may be appeal. At the Qatar race, it might be another thing, you know, or it may be them giving an upgrade that they don't necessarily have much confidence in. You just don't know what the lay of the land is there. But do you think it's a thing where they're like, okay, we've got to respond to the pace we've seen from this car because we have no answers to it?
I think it's exactly that. Throughout the whole season, Red Bull has not been coy in saying they will develop the car as far as they can in order to win whatever they can. Yes. And Mercedes were very... We thought it was stupid at the time, and maybe it is, maybe it isn't. We don't really know. But Mercedes really said, we've got one upgrade coming this season, and that's in Silverstone, and after that, we're done. We're putting all our focus on 2022. So I think that push by Red Bull to continuously upgrade, and then you're getting to a point where your rival just slap bang 30 kilometers advantage in the straight, that rattles you. That really tells you that inherently they might have a better package than we thought they did. So our updates and our upgrades aren't exactly putting us in a position where we can negate how good their car is. So let's try and slow them down with the rules, you know? So I think you're right. I think it has a hint of them realizing that, you know what, we might have reached our climax here, but these guys are picking up. So it's a tough one because at the end of the day, it's still speculation from both of us.
Exactly.
But that's the feeling that you get from the appeals this weekend.
I get the sense of something that McLaren was doing in the early 90s. I think particularly it was with the MP44, where they just threw everything they had into the car and just put pretty much all their bets on this one car for that particular year, despite knowing that the regulations are changing the next year. Their budgets were just focused on that, and the results proved themselves. But the difference here with the Red Bull is there isn't night and day difference in terms of pace with them and Mercedes. Mercedes has still been able to keep up with them, despite how much money Honda have put Red Bull themselves and of course Honda have put into developing the entire project. It's really quite a tense environment, I'd imagine it is. For Red Bull. But going on then into the race itself, of course, sprint quali, relatively uneventful, apart from the fact that, of course, Hamilton just made a brilliant comeback. Carlos Sainz was also very impressive in the way he built up, and he's really been carrying a lot of the performances where he needs to for Ferrari. Quite an interestingly evenly matched pairing there. But your assessment of the race in a nutshell, and then we'll unpack it.
Give it to me again. I think that's the best way how good. Look, we often forget why we fall in love with Formula One when you're watching a boring race.
Yes.
It's really not interesting. And then you start to see overtake, you start to see strategy, you start to see
100%.
Just the brilliance of drivers performing at a level we can only dream about. That's what this Grand Prix was. And that's why I'm saying, look, give it to me again.
100%. The swing back and forth in strategy was, I think, what helped it was the pace at which it was happening as well. The virtual safety cars definitely helped. And the full safety, was there a full safety car? I don't recall. I was in between buffering, but the safety cars really helped in speeding up the process and giving teams opportunities to take advantage with free stops coming their way. And then we then literally almost blow by blow saw Mercedes and Red Bull responding to each other. On one end, it's Mercedes on the aggressive front when it comes to strategy and Red Bull saying, okay, we're going to undercut you. And on the other, Red Bull, Mercedes was in a position where do we undercut them? It was just, like you're saying, give it to me again, because it was just brilliant vintage Formula One. Strategy, since we're already on there, we'll take it there. Do you think things would have turned out different had Lewis and Bottas kept track position as opposed to going on for fresher tires to take the fight to Red Bull earlier on in the race? Because I personally was anticipating that at least one of them would take their hards to the end.
It's so difficult to judge,
yeah,
because we don't know what the degradation on the hards looked like going longer, yes, like an exceptionally long stint. So it's tough to call. I think in the case of Lewis, because of how much he had to use his tires to get overtakes, you know, the scrap with Perez, the scrap with Verstappen,
yeah,
a one-stop track position was not important for him. The key for him was drive and get that overtake. So from a Hamilton perspective, that's the way the strategy should have been, and that's the way it worked out. Drive, get the on-track overtake, forget about track position.
Mm.
From Valtteri's perspective, It might seem hard to undo, because he felt comfortable enough to question the strategy, which he did, and he said, are we sure about this?
Yeah,
he
we're giving felt, away a 1-2.
Exactly. He felt track position was more important, but I think exactly the variable that the degradation wasn't, because remember when they bought the medium, or we put you on the hard for the second time, because the mediums are degrading faster than everyone expected.
Yes.
So you kind of have that mentality as well with the hard. So I think this was the best possible result, because then it puts the other question into debate. If they kept track position with Valtteri, how far would Max be from him?
Exactly.
Because then that would put him in a situation where he has to defend with a one-stop strategy and the tires would be dead at the end of the race. Mm. So it's a tough one to call, but I think overall the strategy worked well for what was essentially capable for the weekend.
100%. The strategists were on point there. I think perhaps there was a hint of Lewis riding off the confidence he had on the mediums, given how he performed so well in the sprint race, and his aggression was just on for the entire 24 laps. So maybe his assessment was based on a recency bias with how the tire performed then. But like you're saying, degradation to the analyst at Mercedes might have been a different case altogether on the hards. And ultimately, it panned out. We had both Mercedes on the podium and Red Bull to split them. So ultimately, I suppose everyone was happy with their contribution in that regard. And maybe hats off to Bottas, I would say, for still airing his opinion, despite the fact that it seemed like he was at the mercy of Hamilton's pace that's at least how I see it. In the way when Hamilton started, he was like, okay, tell Bottas to keep with me. It was a thing, yeah, of, dude, keep pace, because the kind of pace I have now, we're going to have to, you know, have both of us on deck, which brings me to then the next question. The role of the teammates in this particular race, did Perez and Valtteri play to their strengths and do the best that they could to assist their teammates, particularly with, okay, Valtteri aside, we sort of saw how it played, we've touched on it a bit, but with Perez, it looked like Max was not willing to play ball where it would serve Perez, but Perez had to work to sort of help Max to keep Mercedes under pressure.
Yeah, look, I think just to touch on Bottas for a bit, if he had kept first, coming out of the first two corners, if,
yes,
he had maintained his position,
yes,
then I think strategy would be insanely different from what it was in the race.
Of course.
If he had managed to stay ahead of both Red Bulls at the beginning.
Of course, factor in the safety cars as well. There was a lot of debris,
exactly,
interrupting that. So,
exactly.
Yeah, the hards cool down quick and are hard to heat up again, so it definitely would have changed.
Yeah, yeah. So from Perez's perspective, I think he'll feel very crushed by Verstappen not willing to play ball. I get it. Verstappen is the guy who's contending for a championship, I think the non-eagerness of Verstappen to give Perez DRS showed just how confident they were in Mercedes' pace. Because they felt, listen, if I bring myself closer to you, I'm also bringing myself closer to Hamilton. Because if he crosses you, then I'm a sitting duck. I don't have DRS to defend with. So from a second driver perspective, it's a crushing scenario where it shows that you are the second driver. And if you can't outright beat the first driver, unfortunately, you're the one who's going to have to take a hit in order to protect them. So, yeah, it's a tough one, but I think, in a way, I understand why Red Bull didn't push Verstappen to go and give Perez DRS.
No, I agree with you completely there. His morale definitely would be in a different shape. But yesterday, I tweeted about this, but yesterday really fed my agenda that Perez and Max potentially are the stronger driver pairing between the two overall than Max, than Lewis and Valtteri, simply based on state of mind, because Perez knows what he needs to offer to the team. And if you just give him a car that can drive, which seems to have happened in the last couple of races and going on to the end of the season, he's going to perform, he's going to deliver. But just keep him happy. And this was not handled in the best way, I would say, by either Red Bull or Max. So I agree with you on that. But,
Sorry, I think the biggest thing is that if this was a Valtteri from 2019, 2020, 2017, Mercedes would have the better pairing. But 100%, the whole contractual 100%. Stuff, Bottas leaving the team.
He's exhausted.
I agree with you. Red Bull have the better team at the moment.
100%. Mentally exhausted. And you see the resurgence of the man once his future's secured. I mean, the writing's on the wall there. But Tabs, we'd love to waffle on about, you know, Formula One until the sunset. But can you please give me then a wrap up assessment of FIA's performance for the weekend, and also as quick as you can your outstanding mid pack. And I have a feeling I know where you're going with this, but your outstanding mid pack performance, and then we can call it a morning.
Outstanding mid pack performance, Ferrari. It looked boring, but sometimes that's what you need.
Exactly.
You need a race pace. You're not pushing in the front, but you're not being pushed from the back as well. You need to just find the space, be in no man's land, and that's how you secure points. And ultimately, that's why Ferrari are 30-something points ahead of McLaren.
It's ridiculous.
It's exactly because of those kind of races where they are boring, but they are scoring.
100%. I like that. And then FIA as a whole? Were they the proper referee this weekend? My tone, I'm sorry about my tone, but I guess you already know where I'm going with this. What's your take on it?
No. There are many things I'd like to talk about from their perspective. There's a lot of inconsistency. There are the huge, huge judgment that we know nothing about is why they dismissed the Hamilton and Verstappen incident without having full evidence.
Yes, because now they are saying the footage.
There is no onboard footage. Then how do you dismiss that and say there's no investigation necessary? Investigate and get to a conclusion. So, yeah, our friends there in the box, no.
Mapena. Mapena's all right. The consistency is my thing. Because we have mirror image cases. Red Bull themselves, for the past three races on the running, replacing their rear wing components. We found that out, of course, on the starting grid. And they got normal Parc Fermé conditions to replace the wing and put it back in the same spec, whereas with Mercedes was a different treatment. Of course, there's a bit of gray areas, but overall the interpretation and assessment is that Red Bull could do their thing in Parc Fermé and Mercedes had to be disqualified. Oof.
For sure.
What
at this point, I might be ready to throw hands if it continues like this for the rest of the season.
It's getting ugly. Using your MMA experience there.
Yeah, it's time to implement what I've been learning.
Yeah, man. We'll see how the last race.
Hey, listen, Tabs. Take it from me, as someone who thought what you see is what you can replicate on the mats. It's not that case at all. It's I try to take my viewing experiences into my actual training sessions, and it didn't go well at all. But maybe you'll have better luck, Tabs. Thank you so much for joining us, man. We appreciate your time this morning. Yeah.
Thank you so much for having me, guys. Right. Always a pleasure.
Brilliant.
Your 24-hour sports entertainment radio station, Vision View Sports Radio.